That said, Marcone scared me more than any single human being I'd ever met. I'd seen him produce a knife from his sleeve faster than a hyper-strong psychotic could swing a tire iron at him. He'd thrown another knife through a rope while spinning in circles as he hung upside down in the dark later the same night. Marcone may have been human, but he wasn't normal. He'd taken control of Chicago's organized crime during a free-for-all gang war, and he'd run it ever since despite the efforts of both everyday and supernatural threats. He'd done it by being deadlier than anything that came after him. Of all the people in the room, Marcone was the only one I could see who wasn't wearing a fake smile. It didn't look like he was particularly troubled by the fact either. "Mr. Dresden," he said. "And Miss Rodriguez, I believe. I didn't realize you were an art collector." "I am the foremost collector of velvet elvi in the city of Chicago," I said at once.
"Elvi?" Marcone inquired.
"The plural could be Elvises, I guess," I said. "But if I say that too often, I start muttering to myself, calling things my precious, so I usually go with the Latin plural." Marcone did smile that time. It was a cool expression. Tigers with full stomachs wear smiles like Marcone's when they're watching baby deer play.
"Ah, I hope you can find something to suit your tastes tonight."
"I'm easy," I said. "Any old rag will do." Marcone narrowed his eyes. There was a short, pointed silence while he met my gaze. He could do that. I'd gotten into a soul gaze with him in the past. It was one of the reasons he scared me. "In that case, I would advise you to exercise caution in your acquisitions."
"Cautious, that's me," I said. "You sure you wouldn't rather make this simple?"
"In deference to your limitations, I almost would," Marcone said. "But I'm afraid I'm not quite sure what you're talking about." I felt my eyes narrow, and I took a step forward. Susan's hand pressed against my arm, silently urging restraint. I lowered my voice to something between Marcone and myself. "Tell you what, let's start with one of your monkeys trying to punch my ticket in a parking garage. From there, we can move along to the part where I come up with a suitable reply." I didn't expect what happened next. Marcone blinked. It wasn't a huge giveaway. At a card table, only a couple of the players would have seen it, but I was right in his face, and I knew him, and I saw it. My words startled Marcone, and for half a second it showed. He covered it, bringing out a businessman smile that was a lot better than my fake smile, and clapped a hand gently to my arm. "Don't try me in public, Dresden. You can't afford to do it. I can't afford to let you." A shadow fell over Marcone, and I looked up to see Hendricks hulk into view behind him. Hendricks was still huge, still red-headed, still looked vaguely like a defensive lineman, a little too awkward to make it from college to pro ball. His tux was nicer than mine. I wondered if he was wearing body armor under it again. Cujo Hendricks had a date. He had a blonde date. He had a gorgeous, leggy, blue-eyed, elegant, tall Nordic angel of a date. She was wearing a white gown, and silver flashed at her throat, on each wrist, and on one ankle. I'd seen bikinis in issues of Sports Illustrated that might have felt too plain to be worn by Hendrix's date. She spoke, and her voice was a throaty purr.
"Mr. Marcone, is there a problem?"
Marcone arched an eyebrow.
"Is there, Mr. Dresden?"
I probably would have said something stupid, but Susan's nails dug into my forearm through my jacket.
"No trouble," Susan said. "I don't believe we've met."
"No," said the blonde with a faint roll of her eyes, "we haven't."
"Mr. Dresden, Miss Rodriguez, I believe you both know Mr. Hendricks, and this is Miss Gard."
"Ah," I said, "she's an employee, I take it." Miss Gard smiled. Professional smiles all around tonight, it would seem.
"I'm from the Monarch Foundation," she said. "I'm a consultant."
"Regarding what, one wonders," said Susan. She definitely had the sharpest smile of those present.
"Security," Gard said, unruffled. She focused on me. "I help make sure that thieves, spies, and poor wandering spirits don't wind up all over the lawn."
And I got it.
Whoever Miss Gard was, it seemed fairly likely that she was responsible for the wards that had torn Bob up so badly. My head of righteous fury died out, replaced by caution.